much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a, what is this, a Wednesday. Let me just say, before we go any farther, Zach, I'm getting an echo, and I'm not sure if there may be... Ah, there we go. I think we've got that taken care of. And so, hello. Welcome to the rain on a Wednesday afternoon, where we have a terrific show ready and raring to go. Let me say hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from the Soggy Plateau. Watson.
Echo, I thought maybe you were losing it. I'm glad Zach worked out the echo, or we might be taking you to the ward somewhere.
Well, first of all, the first example that I may be losing it in the rain today, I was out weeding a garden.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, Lord have mercy. You have totally lost it, my man. We may need to just go ahead and get you some help.
I tell you what, if we're going to get me help, get me somebody who knows how to weed a garden.
Oh, God.
Oh. Terry, I don't believe we had called on you yet, had we?
No. But if you're weeding your garden in the rain, we need to get you to a live sporting event as soon as possible.
Oh, my God. The quicker, the better.
You think that's therapy, Terry? That's his therapy. Huh? We get to a live sporting event.
I think so. I think he would probably settle for, you know, I don't know, for a chess match right now.
Well, I'll say this. My yard has never looked better. I've become a lunatic about the whole thing, but the yard is looking sweet. Last night, I pulled the TV out on the patio and watched the Predators Game 1 victory in Anaheim in that 17 playoff run. I had forgotten how they did it. They won the game in overtime in an absolute nail-biter. So that's what pandemic life is all about.
Therapy. It's coming.
Oh, gosh. I trust.
It's bad when Terry and I are the ones figuring out the therapy, though. That's not a good thing.
No, it is not. No. Terry, I trust you're doing well.
Doing okay. It's a little soggy and rainy up here as well.
Yeah.
It foiled my plans to wash the car this morning.
The sun has now come out here as of about 5 minutes ago. I don't get it because that's not what really the forecast called for. But enough of all that. We're going to move quickly today because we've got some great stuff. Have you all seen Tom Brady's list that he put out after the golf match over the weekend? Have you all seen this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, it is absolutely hysterical. So I'm going to read you some of his list. The guy has a sense of humor. More and more, I'm really starting to like Brady. Here's part of the list. I shouldn't wear the same pants to golf that I wear to church. As you all know, the pants split at one point. As great as Phil Mickelson is as a golfer, he is a better man, coach, and teammate, and potentially has the best calves on the PGA Tour.
Oh, not going there.
Here's another one. It was nice to be the young guy again.
Oh, good Lord. I guess he was the youngest one there, wasn't he? It's close, yeah. Though. I guess he and
Peyton
he
are
and
right
Tiger
there.
Would be about the same age, right? Maybe he'd be a half a year younger or so.
Yeah. Number nine, I'm sticking to my day job. Here's one that I like. Tiger Woods was a great host and champion, and I was especially thankful he missed that putt on the seventh hole. Had he made it, I would have just went home. I don't know if you all have seen this, but Mickelson, and I think absolutely he's dead on right about this, is saying that golf needs to do more of this kind of thing and that they need to get people like Stephen Curry, Michael Jordan, that he wants this to be a yearly deal. He brought up Patrick Mahomes. You know, there are a lot of really good golfers out there. And by the way, this telecast attracted an average of 5.8 million viewers, making it the most watched golf telecast in cable television history.
I think he's dead on, Terry. I don't know about you, but I think he's dead on because it is a sport you can combine other sports with. Other guys in other sports are good enough to play that sport and still, like we talked about yesterday, see the difference. But it is a way to put sports together where it would be hard to do the opposite with golf and football. Or,
oh, absolutely.
Or golf
I don't
and
think
basketball
anybody wants to
whatever.
See Phil Mickelson going out for on a post route. But I agree that football, the football guys, the basketball guys, baseball, whoever it might be, they can do more of these because golf is a sport that, while not a lot of people play it well, a lot of people can play it, semi-competently.
Yeah, and I think about, you said about Mickelson, Terry. I remember, y'all remember when he won the Masters and that vertical he put up. It was about a 2-inch vertical. So I'm not sure he'd be a real good pass guy.
So I've got a matchup for next year that I think would work. Tiger Woods paired with Michael Jordan, Mickelson with Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, wow.
I hope there's security all over the place.
Man.
That might be better for MMA or, WWE.
Oh, Lord.
Can you imagine? But seriously, what does it tell you that kind of number comes out? And, I almost wonder if part of it is that those of us who suck at golf, and I'm right at the top of the list, that we kind of enjoy the fact that in a match like Sunday, not every shot was perfect. That we felt a little bit of, I know how Brady feels. I've done it a million times. Seems like there's something to that.
Yeah, I think it humanized, guys that we think of, at least on the football field, as being superhuman, because, they got out there in a sport that is, not their primary cup of tea, and they hit a few shots that were good and a few that weren't. So I think it went a long way toward showing people a different side of them that we don't often see.
Got another story here that I want both of you all to react to. National Football League Players Association Executive Director Demoris Smith recently was on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel and was asked what his confidence level was on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most confident, that an NFL season would happen. What do you think, what number do you think he put out there?
Oh, I saw this one.
Okay, Watson, what do you think he put out there?
I think 10. I think everybody thinks it's going to start. It's just a matter of can they get through it.
Here's what he said. Quote, well, UVA law graded on a curve, so I'm going to go with probably a 6 or a 7. And then he said, to kind of go with what he put out there, Look, a lot depends on what happens with the other sports. And to say that we aren't looking at what's going to be happening in basketball and baseball and hockey, and we're not looking at how they work through these things, I'd be lying to you if we're not. So how about I go with 6 or 7 on a curve?
I don't like that, but I don't feel that way. But I wish, I'd like for them to be a little more positive than that, because I want to see football. But like I say, Terry, I think it's going to start. It's just how far can it go? And it's all off of this positive test stuff. I asked that, and we're going to talk to even Lee about it, and one of the things I want to talk to him about. I mean, that's my fear, is they're going to test these kids a lot, in my opinion. The least would be once a week, and I think it's going to be more than that. And when there's positive tests start coming up, which there's going to be, in my opinion, what do you do? Are you cutting it off on the first one? Is it 5 that cuts it off? Is it, if you're in a quarterback room and your quarterback tests positive and the other quarterbacks are in there with him, are they now quarantined too? That's the part I'm scared about. I believe they're going to start this thing.
Yeah, I think they probably will too. But you're right. That is seriously an issue that could be, drastic in terms of, you know, what could possibly happen, because you have one guy test positive and everybody that he's come in contact with, if they've been exposed to it, you wonder if it runs rampant through a whole team or through the team that they played, you know, on that Saturday or Sunday or whatever it might be. It definitely is a slippery slope, I think, but what you almost have to do is, quarantine the guy that has it and then check everybody else that's been exposed to them, even more so than you normally would, in hopes that they don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's the next one and the next one that scares me. You know, we asked Candace that yesterday, and there was for sure no answer from her, and I don't mean there should be, but I mean, I'm not sure there is an answer, George, is what I'm getting at. That's the scary part to me.
Okay, a couple of other notes. It's gotten out that the XFL has got about 20 prospective owners that are looking to buy this thing, I guess out of a bankruptcy court, essentially. Wow, 20. There are a bunch of people.
George, buying it the league or buying teams in the league?
No, it looks like buying the league.
Buying the league?
Yeah. I mean, that says that somebody thinks this model can work.
George, I was kind of hoping we'd do a radiothon and buy it ourselves.
Terry.
Because we had a plan to make it survive, remember, a few months ago.
Terry, but yesterday before the show, I asked each one of you what you were willing to put up. And it looked to me like the best we could get was a concession stand either in Shreveport, Louisiana, or in Jackson, Mississippi. It didn't look like we quite had the funds to make that work.
I don't know, buddy. Bankrupt court, it might go pretty cheap.
Right. And finally, one sad Atlanta Brave note. Biff Pokoroba passes away at the age of 66. Wow.
Wow, that is sad.
Yeah. Biff Pokoroba was a member of some really bad Braves teams in the late 70s and early 80s, and probably best known just simply because how many of your friends have the name Biff? So, here's what we're doing today. After the break, Chris Lee is going to join us from VandySports.com. He's got some interesting things to talk about, and we're going to play him a clip from the interview yesterday with Candace Lee, the newly named athletic director, and get his thoughts on what she has to say. And then Lee Fowler is going to join us at 2:40, formerly the chairman of the NCAA men's basketball selection committee, also a former athletic director at MTSU, NC State, and South Carolina Upstate. We're going to let Watson and Lee go at it and sort of go state of the union of what's going on in NCAA athletics right now. So a full menu of college sports today. Hope you will stick around because it will be worth your time. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The Braves Radio Network is right there with you. We miss baseball. So we're bringing you Braves replays every weekend at noon Central. It's Braves Extra Innings. We're re-airing games from the 2019 season every weekend until baseball returns.
This one is hammered. A rocket high into the heavens and deep to left field and gone.
Catch the Atlanta Braves Extra Innings on Nashville's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Nashville Sports Radio.
One is the time. Let's get right to it. We've got a busy show today, and we begin it with our weekly visit with Chris Lee, VandySports.com. And Chris, thank you as always for taking the time to come on with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Let's do a little sales job here. You have just put a new podcast up, which is a heck of a lot better than the one you did yesterday with me. Tell people about it.
Well, it's not up yet. I had one with Jeff Goodman, and Jeff had some interesting tweets about Jerry Stackhouse's staff hire. They now, I think, are – there's a data firm out there, and pardon me for not having this in front of me, but I don't know if this has been verified elsewhere, but this firm tweeted about this yesterday. It's been keeping stats since 2007 – across every Division I program. And I think Jerry Stackhouse had the third or fourth least experienced staff in the NCAA last year in that 13-year span. And, of course, there's, what, 351 D1 schools. So you do the math on that. I think he had the third or the fourth least experienced staff last year, and now he's outdone himself by getting rid of David Grace, who's the only guy on that staff with much experience. And now they have the least experienced staff in the country. So Jeff tweeted about that. I got him on the podcast. I've not put it in the editing stage yet and put it out yet, but I asked Jeff about his comments on that, and those were interesting.
Okay, so you'll probably have that out, what, later in the day or early tomorrow?
Probably more tomorrow.
Okay.
Got some other catch-up work to do and other things, but Jeff had some interesting comments, and Jeff is a journalist. He does not really care who he upsets. He's just out to do a job, and his take on Vanderbilt and the SEC was an interesting one.
As you know, we had the newly named athletic director Candace Lee on the show yesterday, and I want to play you a clip. I asked her something to the effect of what would she like to accomplish in the first 100 days, and here was her answer. What would you like to get done in these first 3-plus months?
Well, I think, you know, it's a fair question, and you're right that you know, my short-term focus has been preoccupied with how we respond to COVID and the health and safety of our student-athletes and our community. So, you know, that continues to be a priority. But I think that it is important to say that while we've been spending just about all of our time on that, I am very committed in terms of how do we move this forward. You know, I think there was momentum coming into sort of pre-COVID momentum around what we're going to do to improve our student-athlete experience. We know that that involves a lot of grassroots efforts, but certainly facilities is a big thing, improving on the fundraising front. And we've got a great cadre of supporters, but just expanding our reach has been my focus. And again, the COVID thing it's a pandemic, and it's understandably taking up all the attention. But I'm looking forward to continuing to navigate those waters, but building bridges and doing everything I can to make sure that our student athletes and our coaches have the best opportunity to compete.
So, Chris, there's a belief that because she's sort of grown up in this system, been around all these people at Kirkland, that she's going to get a better shake than previous athletic directors. Do you buy that?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I do believe that she is friends with Susan Wente and with Brett Sweet, who are key people in Kirkland. That won't hurt her. As somebody who's been over there a long time said to me, that may help, that she may get thrown some bones that some other ADs might not because of those friendships, and I think that's fair. The question is, what kind of bones are they going to be? Are they going to be, the little ones that get stuck in your teeth when you're eating chicken wings, or are they going to be dinosaur bones? Because everybody knows how far behind they have been in the facilities race. I mean, I think that's been repeated ad nauseum. So that's my question is, I think there's some legitimacy to that. How far Vanderbilt will let that go, I guess we'll wait and see.
Watson, say hello to Chris Lee.
Hello, Chris Lee. Are you doing all right, buddy?
I am doing well, Watson. Thanks for asking.
You know, when we had her on, I will defend it a little because what can you say right now, but it just when we would ask questions, there wasn't really an answer yet, and I don't know that there should be. But when you, to me, Chris, and this is the one thing I've been really strong about all the way through since I've been on with George and Vanderbilt comes up, is direction, and somebody's got to give that direction. And to me, she already should have in her mind, here's the things we need to do. And to not talk about those may be okay, but hopefully there is a plan, and it's not, let's look at this down the road. I think she has to sell this to the new president and the board members. And it's there's only one person that can do that, and that's the athletic director. She may take a coach with her in that sport to go talk here or there every once in a while or whatever. But and it's not just facilities. There's so many things. And I just I hope there is a plan there, because I haven't heard it out of her mouth in any shape, form, or fashion yet. We heard some from Malcolm. But honestly, to me, Candace has just laid out a format of, hey, we got to take care of the athletes, blah, blah, blah. And that's every university in the country, Chris, has that in some way or another. Maybe Vanderbilt never did, and they needed one. I don't know. But every university I've ever been at, there is a format of the way we need to do things and the way we take care of our athletes or whatever. So I just hope it's there, because I think if it's not and we got to wait another year, 2 years to put one together, that's going to really hurt.
Yeah, well, I think what they want to do, from what I understand, is that they want to obviously get the locker project done. That's something under $5 million that still has not been announced. And the other thing they want to get done is the end zone building. It's not the one in the open end zone, but it's going to be in the closed end zone, and I think it was going to connect to McGugan. I've been given some details on that back in February or March. That's been a while, and I think there was a plan submitted. Oh, I don't know if it went to the board or where it went last week or 2 weeks ago. My question is, how much does that resemble the plan that they were looking at in the first place under Malcolm Turner? I think the price tag on the first one was somewhere between $150 and $200 million. I think it was going to include maybe a little bit of premium seating. It was going to be a building for the football players. And, of course, given that it was going to go in the closed end zone, it was going to take out a good chunk of seats there. I'm guessing going to reduce the capacity probably somewhere in the low 30s, maybe around 30 if it went to plan. My question is, how much does what got submitted or what's on the table resemble what they had worked on in terms of size and budget and those sorts of things? But I feel pretty confident that's where the aim is. But having said that, and the reason that I've been skeptical about everything is there's just been so many plans over the years, and they always get shelved. And she may be trying as hard as she can. In fact, I think she is. I think she's been doing a lot of work on fundraising and things like that and trying to build a bridge with the new chancellor. And those are the things that she should have been doing, and hats off to her for that. But, you know, just the thing is, every time it gets to one of these stages, something happens. So, you know, look, if Candace Story Lee is the person – that can get a plan done in whatever form that is and have ground broken on it, then she will have done more than most ADs over there, which is not saying a lot. But for Vanderbilt, as hard as it is to get anything done at any time, that would be significant progress if it resembles what was on the drawing board this winter.
Terry?
Chris, I guess the one thing that I would want to ask about this first and foremost regarding, you know, removing the interim tag from Candace Lee and her efforts to try and get Vanderbilt athletics back on track in a lot of different sports. I know that with athletics directors, you know, they're competitive. They want to beat each other's brains out in any sport trying, you know, that they take the field or the court in. But it's also kind of a fraternity and a brotherhood in that they want to do what's best for the league. How do you feel like this hire is perceived, and even recent Vanderbilt athletic hires have been perceived by the other schools in the SEC?
Oh, I don't think you'd ever get anybody to say it publicly. In fact, I know you wouldn't. But I think that everybody looks at Vanderbilt –
kind of differently, that they've got to march to the beat of their own drummer. They're going to do things differently than every other school. I suspect that when you get coaches and ADs and people like that off the record and maybe a drink or two in them, you would get that kind of honesty. You're not going to get it in the papers or the media because when a hire is made, everybody always says nice things pretty much 100% across the board. But I think privately schools kind of look at them and say they need to get their act together.
And I guess what's the one thing you think that Candace Lee could do maybe to earn a little bit more respect? You know, and it's not necessarily her fault. It's just the way the system is in place at Vanderbilt, and it's been done that way for decades. What's the one thing you think she could do that would open some eyes around the SEC and say, hey, maybe she's got something on the ball that some of these other people in the past haven't been able to do?
Well, Terry, let's look at their history, okay? And I started this in 2003. I'm thinking of the things that have been done in terms of facilities. They got a $6, $7, $8 million training upgrade done to the training room. I think that thing had been mostly untouched since the late 70s. That was done the middle to late part of last decade. They have done Hawkins Field and the baseball facilities. Let's see, they redid Hawkins Field, I believe, in time for the 2003 season, expanded that later, put in the outfield bleachers later. Then they put in the clubhouse building, I guess, right before that, in the bullpen in left field, and then the thing behind the wall that opened up, was it 2 or 3 years ago? So they did some significant things with baseball, and then they built the indoor practice facility, which was at the end of Franklin's tenure, and that's probably the most significant thing they've done. But you add those things together, and the cost is probably around $50, $60 million, and that's over 18 years. That's not a lot of money. So I would say that doing almost anything at Vanderbilt is significant, even a locker room upgrade of $5 million or less, you know, if it's in that range, if it's close to five, it's, you know, something Alabama probably does in a week. At Vanderbilt, it's a significant thing that goes on the radar of things done in the last 20 years. And I think if they really did anything to the stadium, because that's where the complaints are, right? People go, visitors come from out of town, you have all the issues with that people know. I think even if it's just putting a football building in that stadium and not touching the bleachers or the seating, again, especially if it comes with the price tag of nine figures, even if it's barely nine figures, that probably right there exceeds the spending they've done the last 20 years on athletic facilities. So I think the bar being as low as it is, any of those things, I'm not going to say they'd raise eyebrows at any of the school because it's business as usual, but Vanderbilt having made so little progress on anything, it would certainly be noticeable.
George?
Chris, really appreciate your taking the time to come on with us. Be interesting to see where this whole thing plays out. She's got an opportunity that's, given the first female athletic director in the league, the first female African-American in the league as an AD. It's some trailblazing stuff. We'll just have to see how it all turns out.
Yeah, and I wish her well. That's a fan base that needs good news. Those are programs that need new facilities, and I hope it all pans out for her and for the school.
Chris, thanks. We'll check back in a week from now.
Thank you.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com, joining us on the show. After the break, a college football and an NCAA State of the Union update with Lee Fowler, and we're going to do it a little different this go-round than we have, and I think you'll enjoy it, so stick around.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Through this difficult and challenging time, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits remains committed to serving you. Whether it's curbside, inside, or homeside with delivery, Brinkman's is still available for all your wine and spirits needs. You can stop by and have your order brought to your car, or you can still come in and browse. Also, for orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home as well. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's remains dedicated to making you feel welcomed and appreciated with their passion for personal service. Whether picking up a bottle of wine for dinner or celebrating a special occasion, or even looking for help to restock your bar at home. They're there for all your needs, from whiskey to vodka, champagne to cabernets. Don't forget to like their Facebook page at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays by appointment. Located at the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside. Shop local, shop Brinkman's.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Conard Logistics was founded in 1983 by my buddy Joe Conard, and he wants you to know their doors are open to serve your needs. Joe's mission is to provide superior service to ensure that the needs of business partners are met with timeliness, efficiency, and honesty. Give them a holler, 800-548-8672, or go online, dispatch at ConardLogistics.com.
Nashville Sports Radio has been your home for sports and information for over 25 years. And in these uncertain times, we understand the importance of information. With all the questions about the coronavirus, Nashville Sports Radio provides you the answer with the CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, airing every Saturday night starting at 6. Answering all the questions about the coronavirus and providing you with the best information. The CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, every Saturday at 6 on Nashville Sports Radio.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:41 is the time. We're going to have some fun. You're going to learn a lot today about what the powers that be are thinking on the NCAA front, and most notably about college football. Lee Fowler, former chairman of the NCAA Men's Basketball Selection Committee, is with us. He's also a former athletic director at MTSU, NC State, and South Carolina Upstate. And so, Lee, you'll be thrilled to know that at least early, you're not going to hear much from me.
What's wrong, George? You sick?
No. I want to take advantage of the fact that we've got you with athletic director past in your background. Watson Brown, also a former athletic director. A lot of people think of Watson as just a football coach, but he was also an athletic director. So, no, I'm not sick, but I want to take advantage of two brilliant minds talking college athletic stuff. And so,
Watson, I would think that would be Terry and George if he's talking about brilliant minds. But there ain't even one out of this two, big boy.
So, Watson, I give up the floor to you.
Oh, Lee, first thing, and George, you and Terry pop in any time, because I'm just going to start talking with him. And
yep.
Y'all got something, throw it out there, because
we'll do it.
Lee and I can just sit and talk to each other for a while about a lot of stuff. Not that we could answer anything, but we could talk. Lee, what you hearing update-wise? I know my brothers, their conference, they're starting to bring kids in June, and some of them are doing it in different PCs. Some are bringing – I think Clemson's bringing everybody in at once. I think Mac's groups are different people are bringing in maybe 10 at a time or working out 10 at a time. What are you hearing? Anything changed from when we had you on the last time of what you're hearing?
Well, one thing that we've talked about the last couple of times I've been on, not so much about football, but there are other universities that are dropping sports. So I think that the finances, and probably, as you know, Watson, they were having trouble before this happened, and this just really put an exclamation point on it. I saw where East Carolina talked to people in North Carolina yesterday, and they dropped 4 sports yesterday. I know Colorado State's looking at maybe dropping some sports. So I think that at the bottom of the big boys are going to be struggling if football doesn't do it. But even before they know whether it's going to make money or not, this coming year with the lack of ticket sales, those sort of things, even if they play, there's some of the universities are saying we've got to cut expenses. And when you start doing that, of course, that cuts scholarships out for student-athletes. And then you go back, like I was at USC Upstate, in those leagues, they're probably hurt more if basketball doesn't play like last year. And I think the NCAA, if they happen to go through this year and don't have a basketball tournament, I think they're in trouble financially just because of the amount of revenue that tournament brings in. So there's all kinds of balls in the air right now trying to figure out what's going to happen. But getting to football, you know as well as I do, you know better than I do, that people, when you start bringing them in, you can work them out in the weight room probably and keep them separated. But I have talked to coaches and say they may even have their quarterback meetings in the same building, but the kids may be in a different level and not be together because you don't want a quarterback getting COVID or having temperature, and then all of a sudden you got to sit all your quarterbacks out. So as we all know in team sports, especially football, I always considered football as when I hired football coaches, you're almost hiring an admiral or a Marine. I ended up hiring a Marine once, and running a football program from day one, they start trying to get them together as a team and get everybody on the same page. And in this year, that's almost going to be a negative for you if you're having them all together and getting them in the same room and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of discussions going on, as you mentioned earlier, June 1, or just happened. The NCAA allowed people to come back to campus. The SEC's coming in June the 8th. I think the latest one that's announced so far is Oklahoma's not bringing their kids into July 1st. So there's still a lot of things that are moving forward, but a lot of questions that are unanswered.
Lee, the thing that I'm seeing, and I you can comment on my statement, but I'm watching these people dropping the sports. The sports that are being dropped are from the, quote, group of fives down right now. I truly believe that's because there is so much money that they get from their university that maybe the Power Fives don't get. I know you probably saw the article. I brought this up to Chris Massaro the other day. Central Florida gets $23 million from student fees and another $7.5 million from different ways from the university. $30 million comes from the university, not from any athletic event or any conference deal or whatever. This was university money. I know what it was for me at UAB. Lee, we had a subsidy of $11 million. We didn't have student fees at UAB, so the president would have to write that check at the end of the year. That was the reason the Board of Trust wanted to do away with football, and at UAB, football was paying for itself. Now, it wasn't making money for the other sports, but it was at least breaking even. And when I took over as the AD, to keep football, we had to knock that down, that subsidy down, $1 million a year, and we got it all the way to $7 million before I left over a four-year time. What I'm getting at is I think these sports are being dropped because of the money. These schools, money from the university matters so much more than even the Power Fives, and they already know they're in trouble. In the money that's going to be going to athletic departments. Comment on that, or do you even agree with me on that?
Well, no, I 100% agree with you. I think that all of them are looking at this past year where they had got two-thirds less money from last year's basketball tournament. That small amount scared them to death and made them miss budgets, and the university had to help them out, or will have to help them out. And in football, of course, as you've said, to the 126 or seven that play football, that really makes a difference in their budgets. You know, and some of those budgets, Oklahoma's budget's $170 million. Ohio State's $180 million. A lot of that's driven by football, but I think you're right, Watson. Every university, some way, some shape or form, is getting something from their university, whether it's electricity free or whether they're not having to take care of their buildings, and especially the lower end of the Power Five, a lot of those things are coming through supplements from the university. So I talked to a business person at a school that doesn't have football, and they said that they're missing their budget by $1 million this year, and next year if football doesn't play and basketball didn't, they don't know what they'd do. So they're looking at dropping a few sports. So, you know, it's definitely something that people need to be aware of. And it kind of makes me think back to all the talk about players need to be paid. When you look at that and see what the financial situation is with keeping these athletic departments up. Now, have they spent too much? Probably yes. So they try to keep up Jones. Yeah, building facilities, some of them didn't need and couldn't afford and didn't really, you know, didn't have people sitting in the places they were building. But in the long run, there's not a lot of extra money in any athletic department I've ever worked in, and I've worked in every kind of athletic department, including Vanderbilt in 1978-79. So they're all different, but they're all kind of the same. It's just how much money they have to do what they're doing.
Well, and Lee, if you're trying to cut, I mean, the big pieces are scholarships, travel, recruiting. I mean, those are your big pieces, and the only way to cut those, basically, is to cut sports. I know there's the other big piece in general is salaries for the different all the different people through the athletic department. And I'm surprised, Lee, there hadn't been on the lower level that they haven't furloughed some coaches or administrators more than they have at this point. And that could be one of the pieces that are coming as time goes on.
Got about a minute and a half before we go to the commercial, Lee.
Yeah, I think that cutting sports, you take care of a couple of salaries, two, three, four salaries in each sport. You cut off their expenses of travel. You cut their scholarships off. Now, most of them, like East Carolina, saying they will honor the scholarship commitment to the kids that are on their team. I think they dropped men and women's tennis and swimming and diving. So some of those kids will stay and just finish school, but others will transfer other places. So there's no question it'll take a lot off their books, but still not enough if they don't have football and have it at a level at least where they're getting TV money.
George.
Okay, we'll go to the break at 2:52. Hope you're enjoying the conversation. I decided today that I wanted to allow the two athletic directors to really talk through a lot of this stuff. And Terry and I will butt in from time to time. At 3:20, we'll open up the phones, and we'll also go with a mailbag for Lee Fowler, because these are issues that a lot of you want to talk about. We'll go to the break. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville's Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages. Foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good with a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part. At SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. You can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, sirspeedymusiccity.com.
ladies and gentlemen.
Here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
Probably got about a minute and a half before we end the hour. Lee Fowler is with us, and we've kind of done something a little different today. I'm letting the two athletic directors, Lee Fowler and Watson Brown, both of whom have had Division I experience, kind of talk through a lot of the issues going on right now in college athletics. What we'll do when we come back at 3 is let them continue down the road that they're going. We'll have a mailbag at 3:20 and also open up for phone calls for Lee as well, because we know that a lot of you have a lot of interesting things to talk about. And so that's a little bit of the plan. Lee, how have you enjoyed thus far not hearing much from me?
George, I don't know why the name's called the George Plaster Show for the amount of work you did today.
Thanks for that glowing recommendation. Okay, hour number one is done.
I think it's great. I think it's great, George, that we can talk through things, because I think that's what's going on in all athletic departments all over the country.
Bingo, and that's the
to hash through.
That's the way I want to do it on this show. We'll come back, start the 3 o'clock hour. You stick around.